Well, there's been so much to be encouraged over in this service tonight. You know, I like it when the Lord does this, but we saw demonstrated in this service what I had felt impressed to preach about tonight. In fact, one thing I was praying for this afternoon is that we would just have somebody that would just spontaneously break out in worship and praise of God. Amen. That's such a liberty to a service. And if you don't know what I'm alluding to, I'm just going to preach to us tonight about worship. And I'm having a little technical difficulty here, but we'll overcome it. If you turn in your Bibles to Gospel of John chapter 4, and I'm just going to read this verse to introduce the subject. This is the lady at the well that Jesus encounters and changes her life. It's always been a marvel to me just to talk while you're turning that a woman of ill repute, Jesus shares with her some of the deepest theological truths that have ever been shared, including that he was the Messiah. It's to this woman at the well that most people wouldn't have given the time of day that Jesus shared the most that we have about the nature of worship and worship. And we're just going to look at a little bit of that to introduce the subject. And I just pray, and I know you will, this is rhetorical, but as pastor, you'll hear me in this sense that I just feel like we need a recommitment to be the worshipers that God would have us be. Amen. Worship has become spectating, being spectators. But God's will is that worship is about being participators. Amen. Would you stand for reading of God's word? John chapter 4, we'll read verse 23, the words of Jesus. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, and I don't want to get sidetracked, but if there's true worshipers, there's false worshipers. How many believes that in the day we live in? They claim to be worshipers of God and Christ, but if there's true worshipers, there's false worshipers. When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. This verse is fraught with meaning, but I just want to look at the last part. It says, the Father seeketh such to worship him. Did you know tonight in this service that God was looking for worshipers? Did he find you a worshiper tonight? I just want to entitle this, Worship. God bless you. You can be seated. It's getting worse, but I can't remember whom I hear things from. I believe it was a pastor friend. We were having a conversation, and somebody in the church was upset. I know that's hard to imagine, but that does happen. And they came to him, and they said, Pastor, I'll tell you what. We need to have more worship and shorter preaching. Now, don't get sidetracked on that sort of shorter preaching stuff. Listen to what he said. We need more worship and shorter. What did he just say? He just said that preaching wasn't worship. You have worship, and then you have word. You have worship, and then you have preaching. That's not right. Worship is a lot more than just what we do when we're playing music and reading words off the wall to sing by. And that's what we want to look at tonight. What really is worship? You see, most of the time when we mention the word worship, people do think about the time in the service when the music is played and people sing. They say, now that's the worship time. Let's all worship the Lord. Okay, now let's have the preaching. Let's worship the Lord. Now let's do the offering. And so we've made worship just about music and singing. By the way, music and singing is a wonderful assistance to worship. It's a wonderful accompaniment to worship. But I want you to know worship's a lot more than just during the time of music and the time of singing in the house of God. So it's not that we worship and take up the offering. How many knows when we took up the offering, that was worship too? We didn't greet one another tonight, did we? Did we shake one another's hands? No, but did you know if we had done that, if we had done that with the love of Christ, that greeting one another would have been worship. Amen. And you may not realize it tonight, but just sitting there. Now, this is going to be hard, but this is true. Just sitting there and attentively listening to the word, that is worship. I said, that is worship. Some people have accomplished sleeping as they worship, but to listen attentively, hungrily, listening for the voice of God in the preaching, that is worship. It's all worship. Now, I want to tell you, worship is a huge subject, and I'm not going to have time to deal with very much of it. Worship covers everything from my lips to my living. It covers everything from petitioning God to praising God. It's a huge subject we won't be able to even begin to get into. But what I want to attempt in just a few minutes is to answer these questions in conglomerate. What truly is worship? How do I know this? When am I truly worshiping and when am I not? How do I know when I have worshiped? Think about that question. When you leave tonight, how will you know whether you really worshiped God or not? But more important than any of these questions is this. What is the worship that God is looking for? Let me give you an illustration. You may not at first see its relevance, but this past week, actually it's been a week ago, we had the phenomenon of the Star of Bethlehem. How many paid any attention to that? What that was is two planets that normally aren't very bright, Jupiter and Venus. But they converged. They came together, at least in our line of sight. And coming together, there was a brightness there that was remarkable. It caused conversation. It did something, the convergence of the two planets together. And what I want to share tonight, I believe that true worship is a convergence of three things. And I'm going to warn you, don't be put off by the first word. But true worship is when these things, three things come together in my heart, in your heart. Attribution, attitude, and action. I think if we have those three things, we'll truly worship. Attribution, attitude, and action. Let's begin with the first of those. And I find that these will bring the true worship that God's looking for. It'll bring the true worship that'll change our lives. It'll bring the true worship that we can leave the house of God and say, I've worshiped. In fact, we're going to find you can say it on a Monday. You can say it on a Tuesday. Even when we're not in this sanctuary, if you have these three things, you can say, I have worshiped. I am a true worshiper. Let's look at attribution. Attribution. Now, I'm going to be expressing these in a very practical way tonight. Attribution is when you express yourself to God this way. You are. You're speaking to God and you say, you are. What is attribution? To attribute or attribution is simply to recognize and acknowledge the characteristics of a person. You recognize and you acknowledge the characteristics of a person. Now, I'm going to make this very practical tonight, and so I'm going to give you illustrations of what I do, not to talk about me, but simply for the sake of illustration. What is attribution? Let me tell you what I do many times, whether it's a personal prayer time or whatever in church. I start with those words, you are. God, you are holy. You are pure. You are righteous. You are separate from evil. You are higher than the heavens. You are gracious. You are merciful. You are holy. What am I doing? I am recognizing and acknowledging the characteristics of God. You see, I determined I wouldn't go this route, but I'll just have to mention a few times. We've made worship so much about us. But worship isn't about us. Worship is about Him. Practice attribution. God, you are omnipotent, all-powerful. God, you are omniscient. You know everything. God, you're omnipresent. You're everywhere. God, you are eternal. Oh, I'm telling you, it can begin to move your soul when you say this. God, you are the one that there's no one like you. You are the one, there's no one compared to you. God, you're the one, there's none but, oh, you're the God of Abraham. You're the God of Isaac. You're the God of Israel. You are the God that separated the Red Sea. You're the God that brought water out of the rock. You're the God that brought manna in the desert. You're the God that gave victory in insurmountable odds. You're the God in Jesus Christ. You're the God that saves. That's attribution. That's that first characteristic of true worship. We focus on God and say, you are. Now, I want to tell you this. I know it's going to be profound. But when I tell you attribution, say to God, you are. I want you to know something. God knows who he is. Wasn't that deep? God knows who he is. Then why am I telling him who he is? Because number one, he likes to hear it from us. And number two, we need to hear ourselves saying it to him. How many believes, I mean, I'm going to get to this later, but how many believes God likes to hear us say to him, you are? Oh, hallelujah. Just try it just for a second. Whatever you want to put there, just right now, lift your hands and say, God, you are righteous. You are pure. You are holy. You are mighty God. Oh, hallelujah. You're all powerful. Oh, you're altogether lovely. Hallelujah. That is attribution. Amen. You see, we've made our worship about something we experience, something that happens to us, something we are feeling. But the focus of worship is to be God. You hear me say a lot, but in the house of God, amen, it ought to be vertical. The attention ought to be on God. The music ought to showcase God. Amen. You see, when worship, here's the thing about attribution. It putting the focus on God, if I'm lifting him up, that is vertical. And if I'm vertical, my soul begins to rise heavenward in the presence of God. When we make it about what do I feel, what was it doing for me, we make it horizontal, only affected by our emotion, by what's happening around us. That's horizontal. How many knows that our souls are most fulfilled when we're doing for others and not for ourselves? Isn't that right? When we're focused on helping others and not on ourselves. And that's the reason worship becomes a powerful thing of fulfilling our hearts. Because when we focus on God and not ourselves, amen, we experience fulfillment and joy. You see, it's just this simple. Every human here, you were born to worship. And every Christian here, you were born. Born again to worship. And when we do what we were born to do, there's a fulfillment. There's a satisfaction. There is a joy. The question of worship should never be, what am I feeling? What am I getting out of this from God? But the question in worship should be this, what is God getting from me? It's totally the opposite of what so many are taught today. Let me just say it again. Worship, the question should never be, what am I getting from God? But the question of worship should be, what is God receiving from me? Now, I know he's God. I know he's self-sufficient. I know, in a sense, he needs nothing from us. Let me give you this illustration. You as parents will understand. When your kids were really small, did you ever have one of your kids really small look at you and say, you're the best dad in the whole world? You ever have them do that? Have a little daughter look up at you and say, you're the best dad in all the world. My Hannah used to go around and say, my dad can fix anything. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you, when your little kid says to you, you're the best mom, you're the best dad, does that put any more money in your wallet? Does that change your position at work at all? Does that make your house any bigger? Does it make your car any bigger? It doesn't add anything to you in any of those ways of who you are and what you have. But oh, what does it do to your soul? What does it do to your person when you hear your kids say, Mom, you're the best. Dad, don't you like to hear it? I want to tell you, nothing. We could stay here all night, all week, every hour, and say, God, you're this and you're that, and I worship you and all that. We could do all of that, and we'd add nothing to God, not one little bit. Amen. Heaven wouldn't be any bigger. His grace wouldn't be any more gracious. His love wouldn't be any more loving. His holiness would not be any more holy. But I want to tell you, amen, created in His image. Oh, He loves to hear it from His people. Glory to God. Can you believe that? I said, that's where God loves to hear attribution, when we recognize and acknowledge who He is. Amen. I could have added to my list tonight four things, and the fourth would be acknowledgement. Worship is acknowledging not only who God is, but all that He's done. He's provided, He's saved, He's forgiven, He's changed, He's healed, He's delivered. But that's a part of attribution, because you attribute to God when you say, God, you are Savior. God, you are healer. God, you ought to just try it. Amen. Let's go ahead. This is practical night. Let's just lift our hands right now and thinking of what God has done. Call Him that. Say, God, you're Savior. God, you're healer. God, you're deliverer. God, you are the one that baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's attributing to God. To bring this point all together, let me simply say, the first element of worship is attribution. You are. And here's a song that illustrates this.
You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else
join him, would
like you?
You.
You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you.
If you sang that from your heart, that's attribution. That's a very, very important part of worship. You are. Secondly, is attitude. The way I think we express our attitude in worship, we go further. You are, we say to God, and then in reference to ourselves in the presence of God, we say, but I am. God, you are, but I am. I want to tell you, this is a tremendous, important part of worship, attitude. I'm going to tell you, worship isn't just watching what's going on in the house of God. Worship is not even just participating. Well, I sang, I lifted my hand. It's not just participating in what's... Worship is the attitude of our heart before God. I don't want to seem too crotchety, but I was talking to a friend of mine, of a fellow that just... It just kind of got to me. Visited our service... A preacher. Let's stand and worship the Lord to begin the service. He sat there. I'll never forget that night. Our youth choir sang. I mean, they were being blessed. People were being blessed. Just sat there, arms crossed. Never moved. Went, and a few weeks later, preached a camp meeting on worship. I want to tell you something. I'm unimpressed. Why? Because he didn't participate? Well, maybe. But more so, there was an attitude. Worship is an attitude. There's no pride in it. There's no self-sufficiency in it. There's no look, I'm here in it. There's no I have arrived in it. Worship is an attitude that recognizes who I am before the presence of God. Hallelujah. How many realizes we need that attitude in worship? Amen. Let's talk briefly about that. And I want to do this through the meaning of words. We use the English word worship. Why don't you just say that word with me? Worship. Do you really realize what you're saying? Some of you have already picked up on it. When you say worship, you're actually saying worth-ship. And the suffix ship means to have the quality of. So when you say worship, you're saying that God has the quality of worth. He's worth something. See, worship has the attitude that God is of inestimable worth. Hallelujah. That's why words can't even describe him. That's why Paul said, thank God, speaking of Christ, for his unspeakable gift. Worship, English, means worth. And so when you worship, you are recognizing the worth of God. Let's go in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, worship the Lord, it says. That's Hebrew. In the Hebrew, the word worship means literally to fall on your face, to bow down, to stoop down. It's a show of reverence to a higher power. In the Greek, in the text I read tonight, when Jesus said he's looking for true worshipers, it uses the word proskuneo that literally means to kiss toward. You see, I don't understand that. Well, I think people, even a few centuries ago, understood worship far better than we do today when they had kings and emperors, because they were used to seeing an emperor, a king coming, and people would fall down and either kiss their hand. There's a whole sermon there, but I won't get into it. Either kiss their hand, or they would kiss their feet, or if they were a conquered enemy, they would lie down on their face and kiss the dirt around that, because that's the emperor, that's the king. He has the power, he has the wealth. He's the king and I'm not. He's the king and I'm subject. He's the master and I'm servant. He's the Lord and I am the one to do his bidding. And so to worship has all these ideas. You recognize the one to whom you are to surrender, to whom you are to submit. And so worship has this attitude of awe of the worshiped and the humility of the worshiper. That one bowing before that king, he's saying, you're great and I'm not. That's why you're standing and I'm bowing. Amen. God doesn't put us down. God doesn't try to make us feel bad, but I'm telling you, that's the attitude of worship. God, you're worthy and I'm unworthy. God, you're deserving and I'm undeserving. I'm telling you, there's something true about worship. No one can be thinking that he is great and God is great at the same time. You can't do it as an individual. You can't be saying I'm great and to God you're great at the same time. And on the other hand, if you're saying to God, you are great, you are saying of yourself, I'm unworthy, I'm undeserving. Amen. Without him, I am nothing. I'm talking about an attitude. That's why I see so much today called worship. It's frivolous. It's in your face kind of worship. I'm telling you, there's no true worship except the worship of recognizing God is great and I am unworthy. Oh, the pride is taken out when we truly worship God. Amen. I thought of one of our testimonies Wednesday night. One of our young men stood and testified. I'm using his words. He said, I'd gotten a bad attitude, but he said, God changed that. That's what happens when you really worship. It changes your attitude because he's so great. He's so great. Amen. Here's the thing about your attitude. Let me tell you this. Amen. Did you know you can't pout and worship at the same time? How many's ever tried it? Come on, be honest. Anyone came in the house of God pouting? How far did your worship get? It's attitude. You ever been really critical? No, don't raise your hands. Have you ever been really critical about everything? That soloist is a little flat. They're singing that in the wrong key. That pastor's preaching too long. It's too hot. It's too cold. Have you ever had a critical attitude and yet truly felt freedom of worship at the same time? It's impossible because worship is attitude. Amen. Did you know you can't have a pity party and worship at the same time? Anyone ever tried that? Someone be honest. Just be real brave. I tried to have a pity party and worship. Anyone ever try? Can't do it. Can't do it. You can't lust for things of the world and worship at the. You can't be bitter and worship at the same time. You certainly can't be proud and worship at the same time. That second element of worship is an attitude. You see, to truly see God's greatness is to be humbled, surrendered, reverent, and repentant. I don't think I truly have an attitude of worship until I'm also repentant before God. Amen. To be filled with the all of God's greatness is at the same time to be filled with the sense of my smallness. Did you hear it tonight? That's the attitude. I'm filled with the sense of His greatness, and therefore I'm filled with the sense of my smallness. I'm telling you, the psalmist had it right. He said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" Oh, but He does. He does visit us. He is mindful of us. And that's the attitude of worship. Oh, God, You're so great. You're so mighty. What is man? What am I that You'd be mindful of me? That You would visit me. It's an attitude, yes, of all. And so look at the expression, "You are God, You are Creator. I am created. You are holy. I am unholy. You are Savior. I am sinner. You are Judge. I am deserving of judgment." Oh, but you can't finish there. When you get the attitude right, you can say, "You are Father, and I'm Your child." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "You are the one that judges, but I'm the one that's been washed in the blood of Jesus." Oh, what an attitude. And so as I speak about attitude and worship, yes, it's an attitude of all, and it's an attitude of humility. But it's one more thing. It's also an attitude of expectancy. I felt that in the service tonight, didn't you? Amen. How can? Because when you recognize how great God is, you recognize He can do anything. Anything is possible. When you bring that attitude in a service, "God, You're great and I'm lowly. But oh God, I may not deserve that You be mindful of me, but You are, and therefore I can expect You to do anything." Unless I have the right attitude, nothing else I could possibly say or do in worship will matter at all until my attitude is right. This attitude then becomes not just something we have at church. It's an attitude we bring to church with us. It's an attitude where we live our lives. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not talking about an inferiority complex. I'm not talking about being intimidated. I'm talking about recognizing in His greatness who we are. And so this, we had to reach back a little bit, but "and You are God and I am." Here's a song that illustrates that. Join him as he sings.
"Have Thine own way, Lord."
Sing with him.
"Have Thine own way."
Here it is, listen.
"Thou art the potter."
What?
"And I am the clay."
Sing it.
"Mold me and make me after Thy will while
That's the attitude of worship. "You are the potter. I am the clay." The third element that needs to converge in worship is action. And it's expressed this way: "I will." I don't feel like it. Had a rough day, but I will. It's an action. Overall, I've been preaching tonight that worship isn't just something we do at church. It's a way of life. It's an attitude towards God in which we live our lives. But having said worship isn't just something we do at church, I've got to say that worship definitely is something that we do at church. It's not the only place we do it, but church is a place that's conducive, dedicated to the house of worship is made for worshipers. Amen. Those with the heart of worship. And it is something that we do in church. Have you ever noticed about even in English the word worship, we use it as a noun, but you don't have to change it at all to be a verb. Worship. Let's have worship a noun. Worship the King. Worship. It's an action verb. And you know, there's something about actions. I know there's a few involuntary action. Someone startled me earlier in the vestibule and I went into action. It wasn't volunteer. But most actions, you make a choice of whether to do that or not. Now, I know there's a few rare creatures that when your alarm goes off at 5 o'clock, you just automatically jump out of bed and you smile and, hallelujah, I'm glad to be alive. You make the rest of us very angry. But most of us make a decision to get out of bed, don't we? And I'm sorry if this takes the glamour out of it, but many, many times in the house of God, if we don't choose to worship, as far as we're concerned, it's not going to happen. It's an action that we choose to do. And I want to talk just briefly about that. You see, you can be thankful. Someone could do something for you. You can be thankful. But did you know thankfulness is not really thankfulness until it is expressed? That's why we teach our children to say thank you. Well, I'm thankful. Well, you didn't tell them. And worship, whatever we think of God, however we feel, worship is not worship until we express it. And that takes an action. I want to see, I don't mean to digress, but just for a moment, let me explain something. The difference between worship as a reaction and worship as an action. It's very important because a lot of people will worship as a reaction. But here's the problem. There's not always something that is evident to react to. What do you mean by worship as a reaction? Well, you know, there is sometimes we come into the house of God and there's just such an unusual sense of God's presence. How many knows about those? You just come. Well, it's easy to worship. Our hands go in the air. We start saying, I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But that's reactionary worship. We are reacting to that unusual presence of God. Sometimes a miracle takes place. I've seen it happen. Someone either testify or it happens in service. They testify, God has healed. And people begin to worship. And they ought to. By the way, you ought to worship reactionarily. But they begin to worship and clap their hands and worship. But that's reactionary worship. Someone comes up and gets saved. And people will worship reactionary. Even they give a moving testimony. Reactionary. But I'm telling you, those will be times that are far and few in between. God's not looking just for us to worship as a reaction. God wants His people to worship as an action they have chosen. I remember my pastor saying over and over, there's only two times to praise God, when you feel like it and when you don't. When you feel like it, that's reactionary worship. When you don't feel like it, that is a choice that you make. Amen. I started beating that drum last summer. I want to say it again tonight. Worship in the end is a choice. I said, it's a choice. Hallelujah. I'm tired, but I will praise the Lord. I will worship. I feel a little sick in my body. I got a headache, but I will worship the Lord. I'm facing problems at work, but I will praise Him. I've got difficulties in my life, but I will praise Him. Hallelujah. I said worship is a choice. You choose to do it. It's an action. Amen. Amen. You've attributed to God. You've got the right attitude, but the action is the expression of it. I don't want to demean worship by talking about a ball game. Amen. But that crowd out there, Brother Brad, when their player makes a touchdown and they come out of the stands and they're waving their hands and they're hollering. That's reaction. I said, that's reaction. Amen. But I'm telling you, when they just introduce the team and the team takes the field, they haven't made a touchdown yet. Amen. They hadn't made a great play. And yet that crowd just hearing the name, that's their team. They choose to stand and shout. I'm telling you, it's wonderful to praise God and worship when he's done something notable and you can see a miracle. But I'm telling you, we ought to just hear his name, Jesus, and I say, I'm going to worship him. That's my Savior. That's my deliverer. Hallelujah. I choose to worship him. Nothing seems to be going on in the house of God. The preacher's laboring. The singer, amen, maybe didn't choose the song that seems to fit. But that doesn't make any difference to the true worshiper. They'll say, amen, things may be tight in here. There's nothing much going on. Oh, but I will praise him. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I choose to praise him. Hallelujah. We'll gather in Camp Dove. There'll be kids that don't know anything about church and worshiping God, come from all different backgrounds. I'll tell you what we need to do. We come in there. It's Camp Dove. It may be hot. The heat may be oppressive. I hope not. But it might be. Even the dynamics have changed. There's visitors around here. You're swatting a few mosquitoes. But I'll tell you what. Amen. You're not waiting to react to something. Amen. Nobody's got saved yet. No one's got filled the Holy Ghost yet. But you say, I'm a child of God. He's the great God. And I will praise him. I will worship. I will stand. I will clap my hands. I will raise my hands. I make that choice to worship him. Hallelujah. And so let me summarize about worship. If it's an action, we need more action. Now, I want to tell you very carefully. I do not believe worship is just about loudness. I want to tell you, maybe something may be surprising. I don't think you have to holler when you preach to be anointed. You don't have to. But I don't know any other way to do it, so... And we Pentecostals, sometimes we thought just because we got loud, we worshiped. Be careful here. So I want to make a point. You don't have to be loud to worship. There's something called a blessed quietness. It's a sense of awe. We're afraid to open our mouths because the sense of God's presence is so great. But too many people have taken what I just said for an excuse of there being no heartfelt worship in the church. Well, you don't have to be loud to worship. And don't you know there's such a thing as a blessed quietness? Yeah, I know in church there's a thing called blessed quietness. But I also know there's a quietness of boredom. And the quietness of being disengaged. And some folks get real quiet. It's because they just done went to another place. So we blame or we use that as excuse. Somehow the other, when I read the Psalms, somebody was reading it tonight. When people really got excited about the Lord, they had a tendency to get loud. Amen. Shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph. If you got triumph, it's hard to be quiet about it. Clap your hands, all ye people. Did you know? I know it's just it'll happen. You know, musicians, especially in Pentecost, we can get loud. Well, I'm not a musician, but musicians can get loud. Did you know there's even a psalm that said, play loudly your instrument before the Lord? Did you know that? It's not in the loudness. That's not the point. The point is in the fervency. Right? When you get caught up in God, you're going to get excited. And most folks, when they get excited, they get a little loud. Amen. Hallelujah. Even folks like me that don't show a lot of emotion, I have been known to show emotion in worship because he's so great. Hallelujah. And so worship as an action says, I will. Here's a few psalms. Psalm 63. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. I will, hear it, lift up my hands unto thy name. Another psalm. Here's Psalms 9. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. Psalms 34. We love that one. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, then it expands. I said, I will bless the Lord. Then I say, oh, magnify the Lord with me. I'm saying, I will praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord. Brother Rose is saying, I will bless the Lord. And we're both blessing the Lord. So we just look at each other and say, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt. Oh, that's how it all happened every time. It may be quiet, nothing happening. Amen, nothing to respond to. But somebody, it might be a young man that'll suddenly say, I will bless the Lord. And then somebody else will begin to get moved and say, oh, let us magnify his name together. Let us, and pretty soon it spreads to the whole church. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's an action. And so to illustrate this, would you sing, Brad? Would you lead us? Amen. Choose worship.
I will bless the Lord.
Sing with him.
Oh, my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I will bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord.
Oh, my soul.
I choose to praise.
And all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Amen. We'll sing that other one in a moment. Amen. I just felt in my heart a need to encourage. If every service we came together, nothing may seem to be happening. No reports of anything extraordinary perhaps to share. But we'll bring those three things to the house of God. Attribution. I'll look to God and say, you are great. And then attitude. I'll also recognize if he's great, I'm unworthy and undeserving. And number three, worship is an action. Therefore, I can choose to worship. I will worship him. I've not ever been to any of those things from the world. I've seen a few clips and things. But have you ever noticed when they announce the name of the famous singer, the crowd begins to go wild just at the mention of their name? They haven't sang a song yet. Nothing really to applaud yet, but it was their name, who they are. I think worship ought to start right there, who he is. And then that singer will go ahead and sing a song, and then the crowd responds to the singing, what they have done. But notice where it starts. It starts with who the singer is. I believe all worship starts with who God is. Oh, how do you feel it in your heart? You are great. You do miracles so great. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you two things, and I'll quit as the music comes. Brother Brad, stay there to help if you would. I don't mean this in any sense to be condemnatory. We've got some great people of God, men and women of God. We've got some great young people of God. So I don't mean this in any way to reflect on who we have here. But how many realize, as a matter of fact, we have lost many, many have went to heaven. We've lost many upon whom we depended to show us the way into worship. Think about it. I can start calling names. I won't. You can think of them. If the service was tight, we depended on them to follow the Lord in liberty and worship and to break the tightness. Amen. Amen. I believe God is looking for those kind of worshipers to raise up in a church that can be depended upon to worship God in such a way that things begin to happen. See, that's the thing. So many times folks want to see things happen and then worship. I believe really it's the other way around. I believe if we begin to worship, things will begin to happen. How many believe what I just said? Worship like we've never. But Pastor, I don't really feel it. I want to ask a question. This may seem silly, but our young people understand it. In the age of the selfie, can we really get our lens, the lens of our heart, focused on God? Think about that. In the age of the selfie, can we get the lens of our heart focused on God? You are great. Amen. The way it's ended, it may not be reactionary, but it can be an action. Could you stand all over this building and worship God? I choose to worship Him. I exalt Thee. I exalt Thee. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, I will exalt Him. I will praise Him. Hallelujah. 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 I know you got a good attitude. I'm not looking at anyone full of pride tonight, but I'm just telling us if we'd humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, He would exalt us. Could you humble yourself in worship right now? Oh God, what am I that you're mindful of me? Oh God, well, who am I, Lord, that a king would die and plead for? Who am I? Hallelujah. Amen. I see the action. I see you've chosen to worship Him. I feel the humbling of hearts. Now let's do attribution. Lord, you are holy. Would you just talk to Him? Lord, you are holy. You are righteous. You are pure. You are undefiled. You are separate from sinners. You are made higher than the heavens. You are God. You are God Jehovah. You are God Almighty. You are God. Praise you. I worship you. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we worship you. We praise you. Hallelujah.
You are great. You do miracles.
Would you join Brother Brad? This is attribution.
There's no one else like you.
There's no one else like you, Lord. Hallelujah.
There's no one else like you.
And you are great. Would you raise Him? Sing it to Him. We don't sing this to each other. We don't sing this to each other. We sing this to God.
There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you.
Oh, I worship you, Almighty and Holy.
There is no one else. Like you.
Oh, you are great.
You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you.
Not because I preached it, because you have a heart for God. I believe Wednesday night we walk. Oh, it's just Wednesday night. No. I will praise Him. I will worship. And I believe we gather Sunday morning. I believe this place will be filled with people, not as a reaction, but as a chosen action of worshiping God. Let's do one more thing tonight. I told you I'm not going to reiterate, but the word both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the original words for worship meant to bow down before the great and the mighty King. I want to invite us, you know, sometimes it is an act of repentance, but it's also an act of acknowledging, attributing who God is. And that's the meaning of worship. That's the root meaning of worship. One more thing we're going to do tonight. I want to invite as many as can around the front. You can't get around the front. You have a pew. We have the choir loft. But I want you to come and bow. We call it kneeling. That's just a modern word for bowing. I want you to come and bow before God. How many would do that? Would you come and see, it sounds different, doesn't it? It's a different attitude. I'm not just kneeling to get comfortable. I'm just not kneeling to have a private place to pray. I'm bowing before God. Who would come and bow tonight? Would you come and bow? Come with that attitude. I'm bowing before God. I'm bowing before God. Would you come with that attitude? I'm bowing before God. Hallelujah. I'm falling down before the mighty God. Amen. Some of you might fall on your face. I don't know. Hallelujah. He's a mighty God. I bow before
God. And the honor. We lift our hands in worship as we magnify your name. You deserve the glory.
We're bowing tonight.
And the honor.
You are great.
We lift
I'm
our
a needy
hands
sinner.
In worship.
Amen.
As we magnify your
Hallelujah.
Name.
You are holy.
You are great.
Hallelujah.
You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you.
We're bowing.
There
pour out your
no
heart before
one
God.
Else like you.
Pour out
you
your heart
are
to
great.
God.
You do miracles oh. so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you.
Hallelujah.
You are great.
I'm bowing before
you
the great
do
God.
Miracles
I'm
so
bowing.
Great. There
Hallelujah.
Is no one else like you.
Hear me, church. If we'll humble ourselves under
there
his mighty
is no
hand,
one else like
he will
you.
Exalt in due
you
time.
You are great.
Hallelujah.
You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you.
Hallelujah.
There is no one else like you.
Oh, hallelujah.
You deserve the glory.
You deserve the glory. Hallelujah.
And the honor.
Pour out your heart as you're bowing in his presence.
We lift
pour out
our
your
hands
heart. Hallelujah.
In worship as we magnify your name.
Pour out your heart
you
to God.
You deserve the glory.
Oh, hallelujah.
And the honor. We lift our hands in worship.
Oh, hallelujah.
As we magnify your name. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you.
Oh, tell him while you're knelt.
There
while you're bowing.
No
there's
one
no one else
like
you, Lord.
You. You are great.
No one's cared for
you
me like
do
you have.
Miracles so great.
No one's helped me like
there
you
is
have.
No one else like
no
you.
No one's ever moved in my life like you have.
There is no one else like you.
You oh, you are great.
Great. You
oh,
do
hallelujah.
Miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you.